on this edition of The Self-Publishing Show.
Market is oversaturated with the same photography, and there are not a lot of the new stock photos. So DAZ modeling is improving, and it's important that we have new faces and that we are not limited to this, what stocks can offer.
Publishing is changing. No more gatekeepers, no more barriers, no one standing between you and your readers. Do you want to make a living from your writing? Join indie bestseller Mark Dawson and first-time author James Blatch as they shine a light on the secrets of self-publishing success. This is The Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Hello and welcome to The Self-Publishing Show with me, James Blatch.
And me, Mark Dawson.
Mark Dawson, here we are. It's just the calm after the storm, isn't it? I was kept awake till about 1 o'clock in the morning. We had the most amazing electrical show last night, and I think you had it whilst we were on a webinar talking about the fundamentals of self-publishing to a very responsive and dynamic crowd last night. Probably we had about 500 or 600 people on at one point, which was great. And we should say it was all a lot of questions about our 101 course. And before we do anything else, say we have extended it for this weekend only. So that's it. Closes up Sunday night. So if you're listening to this on Friday, the 27th of June, your very last chance until the autumn to sign up for 101. And we still have our COVID special 24-month payment plan to make it as affordable as possible. If you go to selfpublishingformula.com/101. 101.
Very good. Yes, absolutely. So, good webinar last night. Well, here comes my dog. If you hear things, is extremely busy at the moment. So I've got at least, I think, half a dozen vans in the drive outside over there. The dog hasn't had a walk yet. The barn is nearly finished.
I'm looking forward to very soon, certainly for people watching on YouTube, the sight of you being in the barn, which would be amazing.
It's not impossible that the next, we're recording two today, it's not impossible that the next one, so probably going out in early June, middle of June. Yeah, 10th of June might be from the barn. So we'll see. We'll see. It's all looking very nice, but just a final energy to push it over the line, which is required today.
Final push, boys. Okay, good. Well, we've got a couple of other things to mention before our very special interview today. We are getting close to our limit on seats for Self-Publishing Show Live 2022, which is at the Queen Elizabeth Hall in the South Bank Centre on June the 28th and 29th. But you can still grab a ticket, at least at the time of recording, if not broadcast, at selfpublishingformula.com/SPS live. And with the extra capacity, so there's no COVID restrictions now at all in the hall. With the extra capacity, we have been able to offer some day-only tickets. We know that some of you who work can only do one day, so you can do either the 28th or the 29th at half the price, obviously, of the cost of the two-day ticket, all available there. And you could just come to the party on the evening of the 28th. Looking forward to that. We've been talking about some of the logistics in our meeting just now, and it's all very exciting.
Yeah, and there'll be industry people at the party. So sponsored by BookBub, by Readsy and Drafted Digital, and they'll all have members of staff. Actually, BookBub won't because they're not travelling, but everyone else will be there, plus plenty of others, other people who, you know, Amazon will be there, and a good chance to kind of meet people. And I hate networking. I don't like the word network at all, but it's a good chance to fill your little black book up with names and addresses.
Find friends.
Find friends, yes, exactly.
Friend. Okay. And if you want to look the part, you can even get the merch if you're watching on YouTube.
Oh, there we go.
I'm wearing my self-publishing
James is modeling the 2022 t-shirt. Yes, very nice.
Yeah, it looks great. And the baseball caps look amazing. And they are going to be debuted at this year's show. But I think you may be able to get them in advance. But certainly you can go onto our website, selfpublishingformula.com, click on the merch banner and pick up
your show t-shirt. We should probably wear them when we go to Vegas, shouldn't we? We should all, me, you and John and young Tom, should all have matching t-shirts and caps.
Now, I've got some bad news about Vegas. The Raiders have announced their schedule. And it does not include a home game at any point.
That's a shame.
They're away for 2 weeks in a row, would you believe?
It does happen.
On the road. So we won't be going to Raiders this time. Okay, in fact, I will be in Madrid next week. So if you happen to be in Madrid, in fact, at least one member of our community, Karen Ingalls, has said to me, I'm in Madrid at the same time. So we're going to meet up there. And I know a few people are going to be there at that conference. Come and say hello if you're going to the conference. And you'll know what it is. It's a 20 Books Madrid conference near the airport. Very glamorous. But I'm looking forward to that. And I think, Mark, that's about it. So we can probably move on to our interview. We've got quite a lot of recording. So, oh, you've got something else to say?
Yeah, one thing I should, about our conference. I think as this goes out, we should have online tickets available. So we are, as we did last time, we recorded, had a professional film crew in with multiple cameras, pro mics. It was all very, very nicely put together, edited quite slickly. And we sold quite a lot of tickets actually for
yes.
that. It was very popular.
Well, it went us from making a loss to breaking even on the conference last time. So I'm quite keen that people buy these. They're $25 each, really cheap.
Yep, $25 each. And it is, so all of the content will be included. So all of the presentations with the slides and all that kind of good stuff will be included. So do we have a URL for that yet?
Well, I'm guessing, I might be out of order here. Should have had this conversation before, that it's going to be the same page, you just will be able to click on a banner to buy just the live option. So that's selfpublishingformula.com/SPS live. And yeah, as Mark says, this is not like the normal stream you see, kind of slow res stream of a conference. This is a professionally produced version of the conference with its own production crew who are going to be there over the 2 days. It looks really good. It takes about a week to put together after the end of the conference, but it's there and it's been a really, really useful course, I know, in its own right for people last year. So $25, can't go wrong, can you? And it could put us back into, well, I don't know if it'll get us to break even this time. It's been a very expensive conference to put on, but that's not really the point. Anyway, good value, I think.
Absolutely, yes.
Are we ready for our interviewee?
Yes, we are.
Our interviewee was in Ukraine a few weeks ago with her family, with her children, her son and her sister. She has managed to escape the country on a train. She talks about that. But she's in Ukraine because she is part of a Ukrainian cover design company. Her name is Julia Roz Dubuchko, and the company Mublart, I've learned to say, is a very well-known, very well-regarded cover design company, all based in Ukraine, all Ukrainians. Of course, they've been massively disrupted by the war, but funnily enough, actually their business side of it has not really, because they got together very early on, planned how they're going to work around it, got the people who needed to be out. Obviously, a lot of the men have had to stay. And we talk a bit about that. We talk a lot about cover design and cover art. Here she is. Here's Julia. Mark and I will be back for a chat off the back of this.
This is the Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Julia Roz Dubuchko, you had to give me a little lesson on saying your surname. I hope I didn't get it too wrong, but you are very welcome to the Self-Publishing Show. Delighted to have you here. Not just to talk about mobile arts, which we're going to in a minute, but because you are Ukrainian and you've been in the country as war broke out. And I'm delighted to say that you and your son, as I think your son as well.
Yeah.
Are now,
and my daughter.
And your daughter are now in Germany.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can't imagine what that upheaval's like. I think your husband's back in Ukraine. Let me just ask about him first of all. What is he doing? Is he having to fight or?
No, like when the war started, he was just at home. He was with our kid and I was working. And then I got to the village so that I thought it would be safer. And he went to territorial defense. So he stays in the city on the west in Ternopil. Not Chernobyl, but Ternopil.
Ternopil, yeah.
And yes, and he stays there. He's in territorial defense. So they are like watching if everything's okay, if there are no saboteurs in the city, and if people are safe in the shelters and so on. So they have shifts. And they, of course, are learning how to fight in case something comes to our city, but hopefully not.
Yeah. And we have to say, we should say you're in the west of Ukraine, which obviously is being attacked. We know rockets are hitting it, but the Russian land offensive now seems to be concentrated in the Donbass region in the east. So that's some amount of relief for you.
Yeah. I don't worry a lot about the life of my husband. That's just hard to be a part, obviously. And I just hoping they will not send too many rockets to our city, because for now, our soldiers can eliminate lots of the bombs, lots of the rockets. But I don't know, you've probably saw that some rockets landed in Lviv already.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Yeah. And what's it been like moving to Germany? What was that process like? Did you have to stage yourself somewhere else before you found a home?
Well, my husband took me to the railway station on the Carpathians, because the railway station at Lviv was full, and we couldn't really know if I will get to the train, because no one could tell us how many people are there or whether that's full or not. But I knew that there is, every day comes a train that can pick up people. And I had a baby. I have a baby. She's now 8 months and a 5 years old son. So I took also my sister, 15 years old, and my husband drove us to this railway station, and it went really well, because when he saw that I'm with a baby, they let me through. I didn't wait. And with this train, I got to Czech Republic, and then from Czech Republic, and in Czech Republic, there were volunteers that have offered stay for a night. I stayed for a night with kids, and then we went to Germany because I have a brother here. And then I went to my brother in Thuringen, in Munau. He could provide a shelter for some time, but unfortunately, I couldn't stay there because there was not enough rooms, not even one room. So we stayed there for a while, and then I started looking for some long-term, like maybe a few months stay. And I found a great family in Bonn. So now I am in Bonn, and I live in one room with my kids and with my sister. And then one more boy came that is friend from my sister, and he is without parents. So I now have four children.
Right.
Yeah, for some time.
I imagine your sister helps out a bit as well, looking at 15.
Yeah. She helps up. So she's 15, so she can help with a baby. It's really good that I wasn't alone with two kids. It would be too hard.
Yeah. So, but are you all in one room?
Yeah. I mean, without a boy. Boy lives in another family, and I, my kids and my sister live in one room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, and how's it?
I like it.
Yeah, it looks lovely. And well, you know, it's safe, isn't it, for you?
Yeah, it's the most important thing. I mean, I have thought a lot, because it's really hard to leave my husband, and he cannot see the kids. And the little one grows so fast, and that's really hard to see. And he just, maybe he will study here in Germany. He knows German already, but he needs a little bit higher level to study in university, so that he could come and we can be together, because we really don't know how long it will be.
Yeah. So when you think about the future, what are your thoughts on what's going to happen?
I believe we can fight back. I believe we can return our lands. I believe we can return Donetsk, Lugansk, and Crimea. I know people who have lived there. I know people who have had to leave their homes 8 years ago, and now they needed to leave Kyiv again. And that's really painful for me. So I think these people deserve to get their homes back. And I think that Ukraine should win this war, definitely, because it's really, we have paid already a really big price for just wanting to keep our land and just wanting to protect our people.
Well, that's great to hear. And you might know I follow sort of military matters and write about that. So it's been one of the big two big revelations. One is that the Russian war machine is nothing like as effective as we thought it was, and probably even Putin thought it was. He was probably being lied to. It was disorganized and their logistics were awful. And secondly, the sudden and dramatic resolve of the Ukrainian people was a sight to behold. So that combination does give hope. I mean, it's already driven the Russians to limit their ambitions now. Well, I mean, our heart goes out to you. You look incredibly together and calm and sounding calm, Julia, but I'm sure it's been utter turmoil for you. So you have our love and support and hope that things work out and you're back in Chernobyl. Is that right?
Yeah, in Chernobyl.
Not Chernobyl, but Chernobyl. Hopefully in months, not years, but fingers crossed. We'll stay in touch about that as well. But shall we talk about happier things? Should we talk about business and covers, book covers? And we'll talk about an organization called MibbleArt.
Yes.
That's so you better describe MibbleArt to us.
Yeah. So MibbleArt is a company, a book cover design company. We have six in-house designers and project managers, marketers, business development manager, and two founders. But we have a person who writes content for our blog also. And we are all really happy to work together and to produce so many beautiful covers. So we create custom photographic covers as well as illustrated covers. And some of our designers actually already learned DAS and working and creating DAS models for the book covers.
So better explain what DAS is.
DAS is DAS modeling is just a technology with which you can create faces and like people and also environments. So it's not photography. It's not illustration. It's 3D modeling.
So you don't need models, as in humans and photographs. Yeah. You can do it without that. Okay. And is it a Ukrainian company?
Yeah, it's a full Ukrainian company. All our people are in Ukraine, in two cities, Lviv and Chernobyl. Now, most of them are staying in Ukraine and working despite of the sirens we hear all the day. Like, of course, if there is a siren and danger, they go in shelters, and then they come back home and do the work. Actually, I wonder how it works too, but our people continue to work. At the first day of the war, we had an urgent meeting, and our founders had said that, I mean, they were really supportive. They say that who cannot work, cannot work. They will receive like the money paid. Who wants to go and fight can go and fight. Who can work will continue to work. And of course, that all the revenue we have, we will give up for, we will give the military, Ukrainian army, because it's just the most important. And that, I guess, was the biggest motivation for all of our designers and all the other people to keep working, because everything we make, that's how we can help, because not everyone can fight. And I know that many of us also do volunteer work together, help together, like things for the people who fled.
So the company at the moment is being run to help the Ukrainian effort.
Yeah, that's true. And many, I was surprised how our designers managed to do that and project managers, but we are really keeping great score and we have a great results. And I wouldn't say we have produced less covers or something. So we just keeping work.
Okay, so tell me about the design process from an author point of view. What does an author need to do to commission it? What information do you need?
Yeah, that depends on the of whether the author has the idea already or not, because we have several order forms that they can fill out. You can like author can go to the website and choose the package that he needs. For example, photographic cover design or illustrated cover design, and the process is a little bit different. But first of all, that's filling out the creative brief. And then our project manager would be contacting the client and maybe asking some more questions if there is not enough information. And then the order info goes to the designer and designer to the assigned designer who is most skilled for the project. And then designer creates a book cover within 5 business days. But now it's 10 business days because of the war. So of course, we need more time to make it. And the designer creates the cover, sends it to the client, and the client can take a look and say if they want to change something or maybe another concept or something like that. So we offer unlimited revisions, and then it goes back and forth until the client is happy. In most cases, it's all actually like 1-2 revisions until the final result. And then we send the final files when the client is happy. For the photographic cover design, we don't take any deposit. So a client gets watermarked files. And when the client is happy, then we send an invoice. And then client gets final files without watermarks.
Okay, so I've got a couple of questions. So one is unlimited revisions. This sounds to me like a dangerous thing for a company to offer in this field, because whilst most people might ask for 1 or 2, I know every cover designer tells me that they get fairly regularly clients that it can be quite difficult and it can go on a long time.
Yeah, that's true. But I would say the percent is very small of the people who require like really lots of revisions. And but we continue working. We try to figure out what's wrong, what should we do. We try to communicate and find the best solution. And if it's really isn't working out, I mean, sometimes it just doesn't work out sometimes. So sometimes we offer, for example, another designer, because we have 6 of them, and we can offer another style of designer if that's necessary, or we can give like, we can just say goodbye. If for both sides it doesn't work now, we can just say goodbye and not take any money for this. But I would say that, I mean, it's worth it, because most of the projects are finished quickly. Most of the projects don't require many revisions. And if we need to spend some more time with some people and it's a bit harder to get there, it's okay. Because with this model, we can have trust with our clients. And many clients and many new clients can know that they can try. And it's okay if something doesn't work out and that we're ready to work until it's perfect.
Yeah, well, that's very laudable. It sounds like a good way of running the company. In terms of the photography then, so if people do want photographs, you use presumably the same stock image companies that everyone uses, Shutterstock, etc., do you? And
yeah, 20, Neostock, Shutterstock, Deposit Photos. Like we use several stocks and of course use photography, but we also always change it a lot. Because we wanted the covers to be unique. Of course, some faces are repeating, of course, because the stock photos. That's why we started to do desk modeling to avoid this repeating faces.
And the desk modeling, is there the price implication, I guess, is that people will pay extra for the photographs because they're paying for that licensing? Or if they chose a desk model that's modeled internally, they wouldn't have to pay that extra royalty?
No, at the moment, like designer decides that. So we like take a creative brief, a description of the character, if the character is needed in the cover design. And then the designer looks for the possibilities in photography sometimes, and the designer decides if he wants, for example, to create desk. But in most cases, you really cannot say. So for now, we work like that. Some of the book covers are made with desk modeling and some with book covers. And maybe in the future, we will divide it into packages. But for now, we're just not ready to divide it. We are just mixing it together and trying what works best for this project.
And how much does it cost?
The ebook cover costs 150 and photographic design.
US dollars, sorry.
Yeah, US dollars. And ebook and print cost $200 US dollars. That's for photographic slash desk modeling. Like desk model is like a bonus because we're learning it still. And I think in some cases when the designer sees he can do that, he does that.
Yeah.
But we call it photographic cover design because we're not ready to make a separate package. And also there is illustrated cover design. Then the price depends on the styles because we also have six illustrators who works in different styles, and the price depends on the style. So it starts with $390 and then goes up depending on the complexity of the project.
Now, in terms of what the author wants, some authors, I think, in my experience, they really understand the role of the cover and how important it is to match your genre, meet reader expectations. Some authors don't, and we see that in some of the examples that get posted into the groups. They sort of want to fill the cover with their story detail. Do you work with authors to steer them towards what you think will be a more commercially successful cover, even if the author doesn't necessarily come with that idea?
Yes. I mean, in most cases, authors propose their idea. And if a designer sees that it's not really good fit and he wants to change it and he offers an alternative concept, and he can also like make it two versions, for example, to show, or he can like slightly mock-ups or so. And so in most cases, yeah, we like try to speak. In some cases, authors really are set up on the idea and that we can, of course, create it. But in most cases, design also a lot of these authors say that they trust us and that's just an idea and you can create like what you like. And it goes from there. We try to educate our clients through our blog. So our writers write articles about the book cover design, the fonts and et cetera, the colors, how to come up with ideas, what should you take into account when you think about a cover concept. So we try to educate our clients and educate like everybody, try to prepare the information so that authors can understand what works and what not. And of course, if the designer sees a better idea, he can tell it and we can discuss it with a client.
Yeah, I mean, it can be a tricky conversation, can't it? But do you prefer it when somebody comes along and says, I've written a military thriller, it needs to have this aircraft on the front, but from that point onwards, I leave it up to you? Or do you prefer somebody to come along saying, I think the aircraft should be here, I'd like a figure there and a hangar here from 1965? Which one would you prefer?
I think all the designers would prefer an author who will come and say, I trust you completely, please create a cover as you see. And of course, in this case, we just want a little bit more information because it's really a tricky part. I personally think that author and designer should work together more because author knows what kind of message he wants to communicate and what kind of feeling should the book cover evoke, and designer knows what will fit for the market and what can be actually implemented. So I think it's important that in the creative brief that author describes more about the key messages, the key elements of the book, the characters. And when we have enough information, then I think it's really good when a designer had some creativity and can create a cover that will fit the market. But sometimes it's actually a lot of our authors actually can come and they already know what they want. They already done research. They already set up on the idea. And that's actually, most of them are pretty good. And so we work from there. I would say that, our designers also do a research, always do a research. And if it's completely doesn't work, we always say.
Yeah. And how's the company doing? And when did you start? And how's it growing?
We start in 2015, and now it's been like 7 years. 7 years. We've grown a lot because we started from a really small Ukrainian company, and now we had like only 10 people in the team, and now it's over 20. And we continue growing. We continue adding new services. We also offer formatting, a logo and branding. We have a logo designer, and we continue doing what we can do, because, for example, we don't want to do editing because we are not natives, but we can do a design and formatting. So that's what we do, and we grow. And I would say that it's going really well for us.
And it's owned by two people. Did you say the two founders?
Yeah, two founders. They are Ukrainians from Ternopil, and we are always in touch, and they are super supportive, because every meeting we have some ideas what to improve. Every meeting we have some ideas for some maybe new services or the process change to make it more effective. And they are always super supportive, and we can really create a lot of things. And we have a creative director already also, and that's, we hadn't have a creative director at the start, and now we have, and it really helps a lot, because now we can brainstorm the ideas more, and creative director can help with the concept if it's very complex. And a creative director also invests a lot of time in skills improvement of our designers, so they can learn more techniques. And so that we always have like a diversity in styles and in genres that we can do.
Your founders are hands-on. Are they run the company, or they sort of sit back and do other companies now as well?
No, they are actually very engaged in Meeble Art. And we have also created Get Covers. Like a part of the team is also engaged in Get Covers, but Get Covers had another designers. They work on two companies, Get Covers and Meeble Art.
Okay, so what's the difference between the companies?
The Get Covers has junior designers, and they invest less time. It's like for more affordable designs and more simple designs. And the main goal is to make book covers as affordable as possible. And Meeble Art tends to also create affordable, but also very, very quality covers. So the designers at Meeble Art have years of experience, and they invest much more time in the design than the designers at Get Covers.
Yeah. Do you notice a lot of trends and changing fashions in book covers? What works maybe worked 5 years ago or 2 years ago even doesn't work today?
Well, trends are changing, not very fast, not like every year, but they are changing. We can see more silhouettes in the designs, and I love that very much, because you cannot, then you avoid this many similar faces on the book covers. Also, I like how bold and large fonts are right now on many covers. Of course, it doesn't work for all the genres, but for many it works. And I guess this trend was already, but it came back. And the cover with minimalistic style, nature-inspired covers are also very trendy. I think maybe due to COVID also, because we all want to see more nature, more outdoors. Also, the very creative titles, interrupted titles, and the titles combined with pictures are also very trendy. Drone typography is also very good. We have drawn some typographies, some covers, and it's really fun, and it's really creative, because you don't need the font, you can draw
so literally drawn by a designer.
You draw it, and
monk in a Bible in the Middle Ages, hieroglyphics or calligraphy.
It can be fun, and also it can be also drawn as tree branches. For example, we had a cover recently that a title is like made of tree branches. It's drawn by our illustrated. It's also great custom typography. And of course, it should be noticeable on Amazon, and it's really complex task to do, but when it works, then it's wonderful.
Of course, it's got to work in thumbnail as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, naturally. Yeah, of course. Desk covers, as I said, market is oversaturated with the same type of photography, and there are not a lot of the new photos, stock photos. So DAS modeling is improving, and it's important that we have new faces and that we are not limited to what stocks can offer.
Do you do your own photography as well?
No, we have thought about that, but not yet. Maybe later.
I know it's tempting for cover designers to have a connection with a photographic studio to say, I need, because you can search and never get quite what you want. We certainly had that with my first cover. Oh, if you're watching on YouTube, that the figure there, all the stock photos were the wrong clothing, like Second World War, and this is 1960s. It's really difficult to get the right image. So in the end, somebody had to dress up, and we took that photograph. And of course, that's me, if you look carefully. But
oh, that's wonderful. We did some photos in the office when we were back in the office. I also posed one time. Because there was not a right image, but it's really fun.
We've both been immortalized on book covers. There you go.
Yeah.
Our claims to fame. Good. Yeah. So do you think the war in Ukraine is going to change things in terms of the way business operates in Ukraine? I mean, one thing I think's happened is there seems to be a bit of a spotlight on Ukrainian businesses, which is great. Have you felt that?
Yeah, I found that. I'm actually very surprised of how Ukrainian people can be united. How can we be together? How can we help? I'm surprised but also it's really a psychological shock because like the world is for many of us, or for Ukrainians, is black and white now, because you need to pick sides. And the war brings the best and the worst in people. And some people do their best. They help constantly, and they sacrifice their time and efforts and everything. And some people, of course, also can do worse things. And so the world is really psychologically hard. But I think it will filter the society a lot right now. And I see how my friends are helping. I see how my friends want to help the economy, and me too. And I see how many businesses are not giving up. Many business owners are not giving up. They move into West Ukraine and they try to keep up and try to go and to work, to keep working, because it's very important so that our economy doesn't shut down. Because it's a lot of damage has been made, and of course years to recover will be needed, and I think it will be better than before when it's done.
It's that thing about war is not clean cut and clear. It's messy and nuanced and horrible.
It's more horrible than I could ever imagine. When I learned about war when I was in school, I could never think that I will actually live in a war, and I could never imagine how really horrible is that in all cases. I mean, there is nothing good about war, and I could never like imagine how hard it is, and I could never imagine how many lives will be lost. I mean, it's not only, of course, the most horrible thing that people are dying. Many children are without parents. Many parents are without children. Married people live apart, and many people can never go back to their home because the home is destroyed. And it's not only materialistic things. It's not only about money. It's about the memories, childhood memories, and it's all gone. And also what's really hard is that there are so many lies out there in the internet. It's really hard when your people are killed, and when it's not only photos in the internet, you have people, people you know there, and they are telling that's the truth, that the Russian soldiers did really kill these people, really raped this woman, and really did horrible things. And then at the same time, you can go to the internet and you can listen what they say in Russia and how they like turn it upside down. And then how they say we did this to our people. And it's really psychologically horrible to listen to. And you need to, like you said, I'm really together and I'm really am together. I'm a stress resistant person, but sometimes it's really hard to not to cry about this.
Of course,
but
it is.
We need to hold together. We need to be resistant to this propaganda. We need to be resistant to these lies. We need to not be aggressive, because that's what they want. and we need to live our lives and help our economy. We need to help our people. And that's why I don't allow myself to just cry or to say how bad things are. Just not doesn't help.
Well, I guess you discover things about other people. We also discover something about yourself when these things happen. And you're doing exactly the right thing, keeping this company going, keeping your focus on that. It's the best thing for the future. And for the record, in this part of the world, and I think in the United States and all Western Europe, nobody believes a word Vladimir Putin says about anything that's happening in Ukraine. We are very, very well aware of that misinformation that does the rounds. I see it, by the way, on my TikTok stream. Russians come in and say stuff and you just think, people jump on them quite quickly. But so, you know, I can't remember in recent times. There's always a bit of controversy around conflicts like in the Middle East and so on, but I can't remember such a clear-cut well of support for one country that's clearly on the wrong side of this. So that's the case.
And that's the world reaction is actually very interesting, because I know many people who really want to give weapons. They really want to stop all this. And many people who don't want to give weapons because they are against the war. We are also against the war. We also don't want to fight. We also don't want to kill. But what do you do when you know that it's not just that they will come and say, okay, you are in Russia now. Here is our people. And you can live your lives. We wouldn't want that as well. But they will not just do that. They will kill us.
Yeah.
And that's not a matter of war. It's a matter of surviving. It's a genocide. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Genocide,
genocide. It's really, really needed right now to protect ourselves. And we need these weapons because they will not stop. And they're not like people who want to stop. They want more land, like Putin wants more land. And but from the start, I thought that's only Putin. And I couldn't believe that actually civilians, Russians, support that.
Yeah.
Now that's not true. I couldn't believe in that. And after, because I understand Russian, I speak Ukrainian and I understand Russian because of many things that I've heard personally. And we can hear it all in social media. And we can understand that it's not only Putin. It's the whole nation. So, and they actually won this, the majority.
Yeah. Well, they're being fed a very particular set of lies, in fact. Well, I mean, it's such a difficult time for you. I'm full of admiration that you're carrying yourself with confidence and calmness, which I think is very, very admirable. Who knows how any of us would react in the situation and what you've been through. We wish you the best, Julia.
Thank you.
We should say, I mentioned MibbleArt a few times quickly at the beginning. We should spell it out and let people know exactly where they can find it.
Yeah. You can find us at just MibbleArt.com. You can Google MibbleArt. You can also find me, Julia Rustobudko. It's not easy to pronounce my name as well, on Facebook. But I guess, I know many people have heard about MibbleArt already, and you can just... say MibbleArt, write down MibbleArt.com and find us on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook, all social medias.
So MibbleArt.com.
Yeah, that was easier for you than for me. Thank you so much.
That's okay. Well, Julia, look, thank you so much. We'll definitely have you back on soon. We wish you all the best personally, which is the most important thing for you, your colleagues and your family and your friends over the next few months. And let's stay in touch and we'll do what we can.
Thank you so much.
This is The Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
There you go, Julia Rostobunchko, and we wish her the best and her colleagues. I tell you what, Mark, we sometimes think we have problems, how busy we are and the logistics of running our company, but can you imagine your country suddenly being plunged into a war with an aggressive neighbour, but keeping your company going and keeping all those people employed?
Well, I can actually, because Oksana, who's beneath me right now, our guest and her son from Ukraine, are also trying to continue to run their company. Her husband's in Kolomaya, which is near Lviv, and they're still trying to run their company in very, very difficult circumstances. You know, from them, their perspective, it's impossible to get fuel at the moment. So I know he queued for 4 hours the other day to get petrol and wasn't able to. So I don't know how you run a pharmacy business when you can't deliver your medicines. So yes, incredibly difficult. And you know, one of the things you know, we found in the pandemic was an online business, be that what we do with courses and conferences, or with selling books online, it is fairly resistant to disruption. And so it's great to see Myblart, Myblart, continuing to, you know, to offer work to designers and to and have covers created for authors, and long may that continue. So, and, you know, good for them, and you know, I'm thinking of them and everybody else.
Yeah, and we remember, of course, Anthony Iron, who we had on the podcast a few weeks ago, on the show a few weeks ago.
He's Anton.
Yes, Anton. Sorry,
Anton.
Anton Iron. Sorry, yeah. What did I say?
Anthony.
Anthony. Okay, Anton Iron, who's in also in Lviv, and I saw him posting on social media a couple of days ago saying that you may as well be in Kyiv to be in Lviv. The amount of rocket attacks and missile attacks that are happening, attacks, I should say, probably in Lviv. Okay, yes, our thoughts go to them and go out to them, and we're very happy to support and help Julia by featuring Myblart on the show today, and wish them well. Right, that is it, Mark. We have busy schedules ahead of us today. That's it for the course. Don't forget, you can hopefully still get tickets for the live show. We'd lovely to see you in London in June. It's going to be glorious. Of course, June's always glorious in London. It's in Wimbledon, never rains there. selfpublishingformula.com/SPS live. That's it, I think. Thank you, team, behind the scenes. All that remains for me to say is it's a goodbye from him.
And a goodbye from me. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Get show notes, the podcast archive, and free resources to boost your writing career at selfpublishingshow.com. Join our thriving Facebook group at selfpublishingshow.com/Facebook. Support the show at patreon.com/selfpublishingshow. And join us next week for more help and inspiration so that you can make your mark as a successful indie author. Publishing is changing, so get your words into the world and join the revolution with the Self-Publishing Show.